Welcome to Leadershipadelics Season 2 Part 2. I'm Sebastian Fouillade, and join me every week to explore the intersection between deep spiritual experiences and leadership. Leadership in the sense of how do you manifest a better future for yourself, for your family, for your community, and for others. So join me every week as I interview guests who've had those hardships, those journeys, those hero's journeys, and they share the insights that they've gained along the way. Insights meant to inspire us, meant to awaken us, meant to help us build a better future. I've got a very special announcement. We're organizing a sacred creativity retreat in October of this year in the Sacred Valley of Peru. Now, what's a sacred creativity retreat? Well, it's all about reconnecting you with your untainted, authentic, creative selves. You know, finding that creativity from a center of alignment, finding that creativity from a center that is not tainted by the judgments of others, by the programming we've had in society. So if you're interested, check out the website retreat.fouillade.com. That's retreat.fouillade.com for more information. And I hope the stars align and I can see some of you there. This week on Leadershipadelics, I meet with Dr. Pamela Crisco. Dr. Crisco is the medical lead on the My Community Thrives teams that provide psilocybin therapy for patients with end-of-life anxiety who have Section 56 exemptions from the Health Minister of Canada. She's a founding board member of the Canadian Psychedelic Association and is part of an expert team working to give Canadians access to psilocybin at end-of-life. She's actively involved in research related to psilocybin, MDMA, ketamine, mental wellness, chronic pain, and neurogenesis. She's also a co-investigator on the largest microdosing study, which is ongoing with over 14,500 enrolled participants. And most of all, Pam is a human being with a love for nature, science, and community. We talk about the importance of mentors in our human journey, the curiosity of children and foraging with them out in the forest, the healing and integrative power of nature, and we shift gear to talk about the risk of being too evangelical about your experiences, especially the psychedelic experiences, with the need to give time for those to settle and be integrated in life rather than trying to go for a psychedelic passport from one experience to the next. And we also talk about lightheartedness in life and the need for connections, community. This is a beautiful interview. Many thanks to Pam for making time for this and for being patient as we were going through a lot of technical difficulties and when we recorded it. So enjoy it and see you on the other side. Welcome, Pam Crisco, to Leadershipadelics. I'm so glad to have you here today. Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, and we're both in the Northwest here. You're on Vancouver Island, and I'm blessed with a beautiful weather right now. So I get all happy when that happens. Like, are you blessed with that as well today?
It is a glorious day here in paradise. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah,
a great day to be alive.
How do you welcome a day like this? Like, do you have rituals or habits? Like, how do you start your day?
Yeah. We have very ritual day. My partner gets up before me. He makes two fantastic cups of coffee. Cool. And I get one delivered to me. And then we sit in front of a window and watch the sun come up.
Oh.
And enjoy that, that we live in a place that is so amazing, that is so beautiful in so many ways. And we enjoy a beautiful cup of coffee, and we start our day with silence and gentle conversation.
Beautiful. Well, what do you see outside the window? What's your view?
Well, I'm so blessed to live on the unceded territory of the Clahoos First Nation, and so I get to look into Desolation Sound, at layers of mountains, excuse me, and water. Ocean and forest and cloudscapes. And in a few months, we'll see whales going by, humpback whales and orcas. And mostly right now, we just get to watch eagles and seabirds flying around.
Oh, that's beautiful. We forget sometimes the beauty that's out there, and it's so nice to be able to talk about this because I get to enjoy that as well. Like, I've got
a little bit of land on the Olympic Peninsula, and, mm-hmm. and I would go out there, and it's just land, but it's just like being able to, you know, connect with it and appreciate the beauty of it and that rhythm.
The Olympic Peninsula is beautiful, like big trees, gorgeous, mossy forests.
Yeah. Do you have a matching ritual that, to close the day?
Unfortunately, not. I think it should be. I think we should have something that kind of, it's like, it's actually, thanks for asking, because that's a good thought, to be more, a little bit more thoughtful. As opposed to just slamming into bed.
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because sometimes after working with a medicine, we talk a lot about intent with the medicine, mm-hmm. and opening the ceremony and creating that space and then closing the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And I like to take some of those teachings. I apply that to the day. And, you know, like, how do I properly close the day? How do I honor that? And sometimes it's hard because I have three kids and you get pretty busy and you might be tired, but it's like, how do you properly do it? And I'm still working on that. That's why I was asking. One thing I loved, and I don't know where I picked this up, it's when I was doing research and when we were talking before, but you presented yourself as a human being. And what does that mean for you to be a human being?
Yeah, well, as I've been really lucky that I've had a lot of really fantastic mentors that have always been a lot older than me, like decades and decades older than me. And to be able to see through their eyes, their perspective of, you know, what it would be like to be older. And that mentorship has been very strong in that, be a whole human, you know. In youth, when we're young and we think we know everything, you know, I had mentors saying, you know, nothing, like, it, you know, gently guiding me to go, you know, as you get older, you'll realize, you know, less and less than you thought you knew when you were younger. Also good mentors around body image, but especially for women, you know, body image, and men too now, even more so, body image is a big thing when you're younger. And I had mentors that were older that said, it's just a vessel for an amazing life. So celebrate that and don't take your body so seriously. Don't worry about it. And so, you know, so really answering the question, I've had some good mentors that have helped me be a whole human and recognize that, you know, you have to nurture all these parts of you. You have to nurture, you know, the physical part of you, then nurture the spiritual part of you, nurture the intellectual, and recognize that you're not a thing. You're not a title, that you're many things, that hopefully you're connected to nature. Hopefully you're connected to people. Hopefully you have purpose and meaning in your life, and recognizing that, you know, we really do want to be, strive to be Renaissance people, that we know that we're constantly learning, especially leaning into areas that we know nothing about with, you know, this childlike curiosity and, you know, be around people that know way more than we do so that we can learn from them. So that's, to me, that's what being human is really, how can we nurture all the aspects of being a human and not have to be perfect at any of them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What's helped you retain that child curiosity through the years?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously children are one of the best things. I have a bountiful of nieces and nephews in my life, which I love. You know, there's nothing like going on a hike with a five-year-old and, you know, you think you're going to go from here to here and it takes you an hour to go from, you know, 10 meters, you know, and the questions and the curiosity and the turning over and lifting of sticks and throwing things. I love the scientific little brains of kids, that curiosity. Why this? What is this? How come this is doing that? So that's what keeps me now that I'm, you know, moving into the second half of my life. And it's just being around kids and going, let's just slow right down. You know, the journey is right here, right now with them, you know, there throwing rocks in the river.
Yeah, they're so in the present. I mean, there's so much to learn from that. and they get absorbed with the space and everything around them. It's like looking at my 4-year-old and taking her on walks in the forest. I love to just stop and just look at things. It's like, oh, let's look under this log and see what bugs live there. And she looks at them in a way that hasn't been traumatized yet by, you know, like visions of horror movies or things like that. She's like, oh, I want to poke that slug. I want to see that and see this. And it's that inquisitive mind is also, you know, really, it's really beautiful to see. So I can totally relate to that. You also mentioned in the past, like you do some foraging as well in the forest. Do you do that with your nieces as well and go foraging together? Like, I wonder, what is that experience like? It must be magical.
It is so magical. It is so fun, especially foraging for mushrooms, because mushrooms are so wow. Like, there's different shapes and different colors and they're art. You know, like everything, all nature is art, but especially the mushrooms, like you see the colors and we have a number of really lovely old mossy roads where that, you know, used to be logging roads and now they're being reclaimed and that we can walk through and we go through with, you know, they're all going along and they're all finding different things. And, you know, and they're talking about them. They're like, we'll flip them over and say, oh, look at the gills are different from the gills over here. And the color is different. And what I have found interesting, like one of my nieces, you know, we had gone out and we had foraged and came back with interesting looking mushrooms. And we put them out on the table. And she very scientifically we had David Aurora's little mushroom book. He has great, really good micro key in it. And it has a flow chart. And so she sat there at the time, I think she was 7, not even, I think she was 6. And she looked at the one and she looked at the mushroom and she could follow the flow chart through. And she found the names of these mushrooms.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it was just fascinating. And she was just so interested in it. So, you know, to go from being out in the forest and just enjoying the beauty of it and being together as family and talking and playing. And but then also like, hey, there's a discovery in this. So we try to get out all the time and, you know, we find sticks and we fight battles and have sword fights and then we climb up logs and, you know, turn over things. And it's, you never know what it's going to be, you know, find secret places.
Yeah.
No one's seen before. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot That's of fun. Wonderful. It's a really, I really hope that people that have children in their life really take that time to be in nature. And live it through their lives because it is, or through their eyes, and really just recognize what a beautiful world we live in.
You got me inspired again. Now I'm like, okay, I want to go even deeper to look at the mushrooms with our daughter and actually try to figure out what they are, because I don't forage for mushroom. I take lots of pictures of them because I love the beauty and the variety and I know the differences, but you know, like unless it's like a Harmonita fly agaric mushroom, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't know, it's white, it's got, you know, I've done the spore prints a few times and our daughter loves that. It's like she thinks it's like the coolest thing ever. But that got me inspired. I'm like, okay, now we can take that even further. Like she's like 4.5. It might be a good time.
Yeah.
So,
well, and even just, you know, noticing the different colors and the different shapes and and the different, you're right. Like spore print art is beautiful. Our fridge is covered with spore print. Like kids, you know, they'll put the spore print and then they'll draw Mickey Mouse around it or something.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Everyone, Sebastian here. Sorry for the interruption. So we had some technical difficulties when I was interviewing Pam, and we missed a few minutes, but we went from basically talking about foraging in the forest with children to talking about celebrities and celebrities coming out to talk about their psychedelic experiences. And on that, back to the show.
We were talking about like the journey and the like the celebrities coming out. And you know, I think in some ways that's really helping, you know, because it's bringing it into popular culture. And so we're having the conversations. We're certainly having more conversations now than ever before. But again, saying what I was saying earlier, is we really have to be very aware of going into the being evangelicals on this, because it's not for everyone. And you're where one person is at is not where another person is at. And one medicine that has made your life way better is not the medicine for another person. And that's, it's a bit of an immaturity to be an evangelical about it. And I would ask celebrities or people that want to get out there and pontificate about what everyone else should be doing is to take pause. Take pause and know that everyone's on a unique path in their life and needs different things at different times, and we should be thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
And it's not, the other thing that is really common right now is what I call this psychedelic passport. Like, have you done everything?
Yeah.
I'm going to go do Wachuma and ayahuasca. And next week I'm doing peyote. And then I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm like, why? You know, like, why?
Like, is it really called this way? Like, psychedelic
that's what
passport?
I call it.
That's
what I call it. It's like, because I have a lot of people say, oh, I'm doing this and next week I'm doing that. And I'm like, oh, so you're getting your psychedelic passport. Why? Right? Like, why not have a profound experience and then integrate it? And like really integrate it. Go, who am I now? You know, I've had this ayahuasca ceremony, or I've had a mushroom ceremony, or I've had toad. And go, what did I learn? And how do I integrate that? Like, how do I bring that non-ordinary to the ordinary and integrate it into my life? Take myself to the next level. And then when I'm ready, then I could do something else. And it may not be a psychedelic. It may be meditation. It may be yoga.
Yeah.
It may be change my diet. It may be play with the kids more. You know, go to the ocean. But to not become like chasing, because then you're just chasing another thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's interesting. Like, I look at some retreat centers. I mean, I worked with a retreat center in Peru, and I experienced other retreat centers, and they would pack a lot in a week or 2 weeks. It's like, oh, here's your 3 ayahuasca ceremony. Here's your toad ceremony. Oh, wait, by the way, you want another toad ceremony? We'll add one at the beginning. Oh, and then some San Pedro too. And I've gone through that. And at some point I was like, no, like I'm not going to do the other toad ceremony. It's free. It's there. I'm not going to do it. Like I've gotten what I needed. But then I've seen people who went through it and didn't go through very well. I like that, you know, that was because it was too far. It was too much. And so you get to learn, I think, like people who are also seeking psychedelic passports, as you're putting it, eventually, I'm hopeful, that's my positive side, but eventually they'll get the message, like, you know, and you know, if you work with ayahuasca, it's like, it will kick your butt sometimes if you're pushing the boundaries too much, or, you know, and I've seen it many times. It's like, oh, I'm going to get another cup. Well, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, go do that and see what happens. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, well, it taught me humility. It taught me, you know, to pace myself, and it taught me my boundaries. And you know, so I think, you know, to your point about, yeah, it allows those conversations, and maybe there are behaviors that are not ideal, but I also believe that eventually it will catch up with people
or not. For some people it'll be fine, and for others it won't be. But again, it's like, you know, life is to be savored and enjoyed and in the moment. And you know, if you're going to do a profound medicine that is going to be transformative, why not transform? Why not do? Why not take advantage of it and see the world through the new eyes and the new, you know, the widening of the blinders from what you went in.
And
it's not for everyone. You know, this is not we're not the rulers of the world. People can do whatever they want. But I do hope people speak a little more, you know, more humbly about it.
Yeah. And that's that humbleness. Is that humbleness? that humbleness. That's kind of a theme. One of the questions I ask people before they come to the podcast is like, you know, what is a way psychedelics have helped you in the way you lead? And you mentioned being more humble, more grounded, more relaxed, and more fun. Did that come in gradually through your work with psychedelics, or is this, again, I'm just curious from what you were talking about, how much integration did that require as you were working with psychedelics to reach that level?
It's kind of hard to go back and look and go, oh, how much was it? I think it was bit by bit. I think like we use the term that it's a journey. You know, life is like that, and it is that journey. I think you learn lots of things integrate, lots of things myceliate in our experience. Right? We may have come across a challenge one way, but then after a session, after a psychedelic session, you have a whole new way of coming up, or a whole new way of showing up. And so I think it's been bit by bit by bit, you know. For a long time, I thought I had to fix people, had to help people get fixed. And now I'm like, no, I'm just here to help. You know, they're going to fix themselves. I'm just a helper. I'm a facilitator. I can. And so I think it's bit by bit, and you learn a little bit more. And as you see things, transforming, and you learn more and you have more experience, then, again, the blinders keep widening and widening and widening. Yeah. You know, at 18, I knew this much, and now I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of different ways of looking at things. And so I think it's all, it's hard to disambiguate what did what. But I know that it's been gradual, and it's been challenging at times. It's not been easy, and some of it's been really great, like flow. I'm a big fan of flow theory. I love Mikhail Michikmiha, and I love his stuff. I think when things are easy, you're on right path, and when you're banging your head against the wall, stop, turn around, go the other way, pivot. So
good.
I don't know. It's a great question, and I think it's bit by bit. And I hope that I'm just a little bit better every day. I hope I'm integrating things every day, listening, learning, and I hope I never get to the point where I think I know it all, because I don't. In fact, I know less and less as I get older.
me too. It's like you read all those books to realize that you know less and less. It's fascinating. Do you have a go-to tool for integration, like a process, or like how do you approach integrating a learning, or is it changes per experience?
Now it's more nature. It's making sure that I'm giving, no matter what I'm doing, I'm giving myself ample time to be connected. Just quiet. I garden. I love gardening. I love being in the soil. I love permaculture. I love growing food. I love giving food away. I also like just being in the forest and getting exercise in the forest, hiking, biking. And I think that's integration, because that's somatic. It's moving your body.
Yeah.
It's thinking, just being. I like using somatic therapies. Like I like using EFT or tapping. I think it's a great tool. We use it a lot in our program. It really helps a lot, helps people process. And I find that I use that daily. I find it really keeps me calm, keeps my cortisol levels low. Good food, good people laughing. I don't take myself as seriously. I think that is really helpful, is having some lightheartedness around everything. And searching and seeking like ease and joy, knowing that truly we are here to connect with people, not accumulate things, stuff. And I hope that, when I'm expiring from this existence, that I'll look back and go, that was fun. You know, that was a good life. It was meaningful. And not that I have a bank account and a million houses and stuff. It's nice to have luxury and comfort, but I would prefer to have a lot more connection.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I know you have a hard stop coming up soon. So thank you for sharing that. And there's so much more we could talk about, but with the technical challenges we've been running into, I'm also very cautious of not talking too much, which, you know, helps us focus on the important things. And what we shared was really important.
This, what I'm saying, is not original. Like,
yeah.
People that have, many people before, and all my mentors and stuff, you know, I'm just borrowing their words and their wisdom,
yeah.
You know? And yeah. And if I could, I wish I could pick out, like, oh, I learned that from so-and-so. So I'm really not honoring my mentors and apprentices as I should. But I do stand on their shoulders. I stand on the shoulders of their wisdom and many others' wisdom that we all collect as we go. And so, you know, I'm just lucky that it fell into my life or into my ears, or I got to read it somewhere. And I want to honor those that have, you know, whether it's I watched them in a TED talk, or I read their book, or I had a conversation, or they were one of my mentors or apprentice, or somebody I apprenticed with, you know, but we build on those others that have come before us, are the shoulders that we stand upon. And, you know, it's an honor to be able to continue. And I hope that those who stand on my shoulders, I do good service to them.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you. I wish we could talk about all the projects you have going on, because there's so many, from the microdose study you were working on, from the end of life work you're doing, the My Community Thrives as well. I mean, there's just so much amazing work, and then the ketamine work you're doing. Yeah, it was like, there's just so much, and thank you so much for your contribution and like just putting all that good energy that comes from all the ancestors and everybody before, and being a conduit for that. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's a team. I want to say that it's all a team. Like, I'm not a one person show. I work with large teams, large groups of healthcare providers and indigenous elders and somatic workers, energy workers. Like, we're a team. And it really does take a team to do all this. So it's not me. I just get to talk about it a little bit more than some others on the team. But it is a team effort. We all work together. It's a flat hierarchy. And it takes a community to do anything. And I think it makes it a lot more fun when you work
together. Yeah. That sense of community is something that I feel we've lost. You know, that you talked about the conversations around the fire and coming together. And I like how you touched on that. And, you know, I also like that you introduced me to other members of your team that are going to be on the show, which I'm really looking forward to those conversations as well, with your music maker and more.
Yeah.
So, thank you. It looks awesome. I hope one day I can meet all of you in person and get to know you on a more human level than, you know, the technical difficulties between us, but we're still
connected. Can do it again, and we can talk about a few other things.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, follow me on Instagram at leadershipadelics, or stop by my website and say hi at fouyad.com. That's FOOYAD. There's a lot going on. I've got a retreat coming up in October. I've got Flute Fridays, and I'd love to hear from you all, the listeners that tune in every week. And if you have suggestions for future guests, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm there, and I'd love to get more guests on the show. Thank you. Have a great day.